Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you probably know, we are dealing with the subject of persecution for Christians, persecution for the sake of Christ. And in 1 Peter 4:14, we are examining benefits of persecution. Not exactly what you would normally expect, but that's exactly what Peter teaches. And Peter's only teaching what Jesus Christ himself taught in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes, because he said, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad." And that's what Peter is teaching us in 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. I wonder where he learned that. Obviously, from Christ. Of course, everything that Peter taught, he learned from Christ in one way or another. But this particular statement, he learned from Christ when he was there on the Sermon on the Mount, where the Sermon on the Mount was declared. Now, the question is, what are these benefits? And we dealt with some of them in the broadcast yesterday, and let me just review. Number one, there is the special presence of God that comes to those who are persecuted for Christ's sake. Number two, there's the assurance of genuine salvation. If you are persecuted for Christ's sake and not for your own wrongdoing, that is pretty strong evidence that you are a true child of God. In fact, your very willingness to suffer for Christ rather than compromise indicates the inner transforming work of the Holy Spirit of God. And in similar fashion, therefore, another benefit is that this brings the exposure of spurious professions. Are you unwilling to bear shame? Well, you must not be a true child of God. Are you more interested in being cool than being faithful? More interested in being popular and liked than you are being true to Christ and to his word? Then that's a pretty good evidence that your profession of faith is a counterfeit one, and you need to examine your own heart. But today we're going to move into verse 15 and get some clarifications regarding persecution. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, May 27, and this broadcast is made possible by the generous gifts of our faithful radio listeners. Peter says in verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters." Now, I talked about suffering in verse 14, but he makes it clear there is suffering for Christ's sake. There is suffering that can be properly categorized as persecution, and then there's suffering for our own misdeeds, and we've got to be able to separate the one from the other. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But, verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evil body, or a busybody in other people's affairs. You see, the blessings assigned to persecution are not bestowed on every kind of suffering. Some suffering is self-inflicted. In fact, a lot of it is. I would say the majority of the problems that we encounter are things that we have brought upon ourselves in one way or another. Not all of them, but a lot of them, and perhaps the majority of them, which still gives a lot of room for the kind of suffering that is not attached to our wrongdoing. But let's just be honest and say that there are plenty of times when we attract suffering to ourselves needlessly, but we do it because we are not acting in a Christ-like way. And Peter names four different items, and he puts them in two different categories. First of all, the category of criminal activities, and secondly, the category of socially destructive activities. In the category of criminal activities, these things are punishable by law. He lists murder and theft and what he calls evildoer. And that really, in the Greek, is a general term for any lawbreaker. And what he's saying is, if you suffer because you break the law, then you deserve to suffer. You think Christ is going to shield his people from the justice of the law when they break the law? If you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, general category for lawbreaker, then you ought to suffer. Christians are not to be protected from the consequences of breaking the law. Christians are taught by God's word to obey the laws of society, except in those cases where those laws directly contradict the laws of God. And in my experience, that doesn't happen very often. Certainly not in America. It may. We may be coming to a day when it's going to happen more often, but that doesn't happen very often in our nation, though it does perhaps in other nations. But unless a law requires us to break a clear law of God, then we are expected to obey the law. And if we don't, and if we get punished for it, then don't whine and say you're suffering because you're a Christian. Don't say, well, I was picked out because I was a Christian. Even if you were, you may or may not have been, and probably weren't, but even if you were, in other words, if other people did the same thing and didn't get penalized, and you broke the law and did get penalized, and you think it's because you were a Christian, what are you as a Christian doing breaking the law? You get no sympathy from Christ, and you shouldn't get any sympathy from the church when you act like that. When you break the speed limit and get stopped for speeding, you deserve to get a ticket. You're not immune because you're a Christian. I can remember, oh, so many years ago now, it's hard to remember, probably 25 years ago or more, maybe even 30 years ago now, when we were on vacation. It's when all of our girls were quite small, and they're all grown and married and gone now. And we were on vacation, and we were trying to get to church on a Sunday morning at a church we'd never been to, but one we'd picked out. But it was about an hour away from where we were staying. We used to do things like that. I don't attempt that much anymore. And we were on the road and hurrying to get there because we were likely to be late driving that distance, getting a family of four ready. Had four little girls in the car, all dressed in their Sunday finest, and I was in my suit, my wife was in her Sunday dress, and all of a sudden, there were one of the lights behind us, and sure enough, I got pulled over and was speeding, and the policeman came up to me, and I was tempted to say, "Officer, officer, please don't give me a ticket. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm on my way to church." Well, wouldn't that have been a fine testimony? I don't remember what he asked, and I don't remember what I said, but I didn't try anything like that, and I did get a ticket. It would have been nice if he had let me go. It would have been nice if he hadn't given me a ticket, but I was breaking the law. I was speeding. I deserved a ticket. It didn't matter that I was speeding to get to church. I broke the law. I deserved a ticket. I was not suffering for Christ's sake. I wasn't being persecuted. I was suffering as an evildoer, a lawbreaker. And when we do that, we ought to bear the penalty of the law. If you are jailed for embezzlement, extortion, tax evasion, counterfeiting money orders, Expect to be punished for such activity. Don't play the martyr. And I would extend this a little bit further. Sometimes Christians or people that claim to be Christians, or sometimes members of households that are Christians, and sometimes church members, break the law, and they go to court, and sometimes they ask Christians to go to court with them and to vouch for them, to give them a character reference. And I did that one time many years ago, foolishly. This was a young person in our church, and he broke the law. And his mother asked me to go to court and to be a character reference for him. And I did, because as far as I could tell, he was a fine young man. And probably, as far as I was concerned, he'd probably just made a foolish mistake. And I, at that time, I really thought that what he had done was not what his accuser and what the law said he had done. I thought he'd been guilty of something else. I was misled. And I went as a character reference, spoke up on his behalf. I don't even remember the outcome of the trial. I don't think he had any serious penalty if he was found guilty at all. It's been so long ago, I can't remember. But the sad part about it is, within a year or two, he was arrested again for doing something similar, and that pattern went on for a while. I was foolish and wrong to try to protect him from the consequences of the law. He broke the law. Let the court sort it out. Now, if I have direct evidence and I'm called upon to testify, I'll be glad to do that. But I'm not going to go as a character witness. And I wouldn't recommend you do the same thing either. I've seen that happen a number of times. I've seen pastors who really, I know one pastor who did that. And then as a result, when the man that he was a character witness for turned out to be a real scoundrel, he just didn't know it. He was genuinely deceived. He thought he was a good man. He was trying to help him, trying to do right. And when his true character was revealed, his whole church split apart. Because many people were outraged that the pastor had gone to court to defend a man like that. And even though he was deceived into doing it, it wasn't a very wise thing to do. What he was trying to do was to mitigate the severity of the law because he had been asked to do so, and because he knew this man and he felt sorry for him and he didn't want him to be in serious trouble. And so he went to bat for him. That's exactly what he did. But should he have? Well, in retrospect, I think he knows he shouldn't have. And in observing that situation, I think a lot of people know that he shouldn't have. And some of you have found yourself in a similar situation. And I would caution you about doing that. If a person breaks the law, let the law handle it. Let the court sort it out. Let it go through the regular judicial process. That's not my responsibility to try to keep people from bearing the consequences of breaking the law. And that's what Peter's telling us here. If you reproach for the name of Christ, blessed are you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or a lawbreaker. If you do that, you deserve whatever you get. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.